The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show as we commence Hour 2 this Thursday, November 14th, 2019. Our phone number is 602-508-0960. I made a brief mention in the last hour that in tuning in to watch the impeachment hearings yesterday, Fox News Channel won the viewership wars against other cable. And looks like against CBS and ABC as well. CNN came in fourth place. Fox had 2.9 million viewers. CNN, to give you an example of what fourth place looks like, had 1.85 million viewers. MSNBC looks like it came in second place behind Fox News Channel. But there's something to divine from this, isn't there? Which is that it seems like more conservatives or more center-right people were tuning in than the typical MSNBC or CNN voter or viewer, the center-left or left-leaning viewer. And I think it's a little bit because of what Andy Biggs said in our first segment last hour. You know, we who have pretty much strong opinions on what Donald Trump did, not being wrong and certainly not being impeachable, or even if wrong, not being impeachable, that we want to see what the other side has. Where is all this Sturm und Drang coming from? What are all these alarms and excursions about? What is the bombshell that MSNBC and CNN keeps touting and promoting? And it turns out, aside from their use of the word bombshell, there really isn't one. We haven't seen anything. And then today, of course, gas is leaking out of their hot air balloon because they didn't have hearings. They'll resume tomorrow, and then we'll have hearings sporadically next week as well. I don't think this was managed very well. But it's not just a problem of management. It's a problem of content. They don't have the goods. They don't have the case. You open up your case to the American people, you do want bombshells. You want firecrackers. You want sticks of dynamite. You want something that makes you go, oh, I see. Instead, people were tuning out because there was nothing to see. Days of Our Lives was more interesting, evidently, than these impeachment hearings. Well, okay, that's a point. But if you aren't watching CNN, and I can't blame you, it is truly amazing the depths to which they'll go. Even the folks there who you thought were, you know, if not above the fray, maybe at the top of the bottom of the fray. People who used to have some serious credentials and chops and who don't come off as strident, like, say, Wolf Blitzer. Did you see what he did to Kellyanne Conway yesterday? First of all, let's give a little credit to Kellyanne Conway for never refusing to go on CNN. They invite her, she goes, and she gives a good punch. She really does. And she deserves a lot of credit. She is an unsung hero of this administration. But look at what Wolf Blitzer did to her. If you don't know, she's married to a never-Trump Republican. He's an attorney named George Conway. Now, people say he's a well-known and well-respected constitutional attorney. He may be. I never came across his name before in my life when I worked in Washington. But I, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean anything. Just means I thought I, you know, in certain circles, I knew who go-to constitutional law attorneys were. That name never came up. But in any event, let's say he is. He, you know, for good or for ill, has not restrained his tongue during the Trump administration. He is an active and vocal critic of Donald Trump on Twitter, in op-eds, you name it. And goodness gracious knows what their conversations are like at night. But it doesn't matter. They don't make a thing of it. They don't really bring up each other. They just kind of shrug on and go on with their day jobs. But listen to what Wolf Blitzer did to Kellyanne yesterday. Listen to this.
Overdose deaths are down. The last 3 seconds is the only time you're going to hear that on CNN today.
You don't know that. I just have a final question, a sensitive question, and it's a political question. It's a substantive question. I don't want to talk about your marriage. I know that there are issues there. Your husband, George Conway, he's a lawyer.
Did you just say?
Your husband, George Conway.
Did you just say there are issues there? You don't want to talk about my marriage?
Stop that. Yeah. Wolf Blitzer said, I know there are issues there. I don't want to talk about them. Why bring it up? I don't know that there are issues there. But, you know, why would you do that? People used to say that that was the worst of Nixon's red baiting. For those that didn't like Nixon's red baiting back in the 40s and 50s, he would say, I'm not going to say so-and-so is such-and-such, but I have heard so-and-so is such-and-such, right? That's what Wolf Blitzer did. I'm not going to Why start it over? I want to do this uninterrupted, but I had to, as I say, fracture this inference. It's so incredible to me. Start it over.
Overdose deaths are down. The last 3 seconds is the only time you're going to hear that on CNN today.
You don't know that. I just have a final question, a sensitive question, and it's a political question. It's a substantive question. I don't want to talk about your marriage. I know that there are issues there. Your husband, George Conway, he's a lawyer.
Did you just say?
Your husband, George Conway.
Did you just say there are issues there? You don't want to talk about marriage?
I don't want to talk about... No, I don't want to talk...
Why did you say that?
I don't want to talk about your marriage. I don't want to talk about your... I want to talk about a substantive point that your husband, George Conway, made. He was on television all day yesterday during this, the first day of the impeachment hearings. And he said this about the president of the United States. I just want your reaction to the substance of what he said.
So before you play the clip, which I haven't seen, why? And why are you doing that?
Because he's a legal scholar. He's a lawyer. And he was really going after the president of the United States, and he was all over television yesterday.
And come on,
I just want you to. I just.
And he's married to me.
What, you know, he happens to be married to you. What's wrong with that?
You can run the clip of Jeffrey. He happens to be married to me. That's bizarre.
Correct. But he's also a legal scholar. He's got a substantive point. Listen to what
Jeffrey Toobin's point. Your senior legal analyst. I loved his point on CNN yesterday. We don't have to play a competitor's clip.
Stop.
We could just play
right. Why are you going to MSNBC? Your competitor with Kellyanne, with a legal scholar who happens to be your husband, she's doing great. Why don't you just talk about your own legal scholars? Jeffrey Toobin is a CNN legal scholar. Use his point. Why are you going to MSNBC, your competitor, if you didn't want to bring up my marriage? All right, keep going.
CNN clip where Jeffrey Toobin said it's a problem that Taylor and Kent never met Donald Trump. He said to Jake, it's a problem.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
Jake Tapper said something
I'm not disagreeing with either.
They might have to meet the whistleblower, at least talk to him or her, him in private, because you have to be able to confront your accused.
Right.
But you should not have just said to your audience, I don't want to talk about your marriage, quote, I know there are issues. Why would you say that? What is it?
I don't want to talk about
why
your
why
marriage.
Why would you say there are issues?
Listen to what your husband said. I'll play the clip.
The problem with Donald Trump is he always sees himself first. Mm-hmm. Trump is all about Trump. And that's why it was inevitable he'd get himself into the soup once again. And that's what this is all about. He was using the power of the presidency in its most unchecked area, foreign affairs, mm-hmm. to advance his own personal interests as opposed to the country's.
Brilliant, brilliant legal analysis, right? You had to go to MSNBC for that. Kelly picks up on it. Go ahead.
All right. That's a serious allegation, a serious charge. He was using the power of the presidency, its most unchecked area, foreign affairs, to advance his own personal interests as opposed to the country's.
That is his opinion. And I don't think MSNBC was lacking for anti-Trump voices. And we've heard things like that said on CNN for 3 years. And we've heard things like that said on that network for 3 years and elsewise. And where, honestly, where is the shame? Where is the introspection of people who have said for 3 years, respectfully, Wolf, actually beginning in May of 2017, I'll quote your wife's husband right now. I won't talk about your marriage, but I'll quote your wife's husband. 2017, you asked Angus King, are we getting closer to impeachment? I mean, where does anybody ever feel badly about getting it so wrong? We sort of look the other way of how wrong everybody was here and elsewhere with the elections. I was on your network every single day.
Hold it. I want to give you the rest of what she says on the other side of this break. But she's so calm, cool, and collected. And absolutely right. That was just another normal anti-Trump point. You don't have to go to MSNBC when you're CNN to put that out there. You don't have to go to Kellyanne's husband to get it. You can get it anywhere you want on CNN any day of the week. And you certainly don't have to say, I don't want to talk about your marriage. I know there are issues there. Unbelievable. But wait, she's not quite done with filleting Wolf yet. God bless her. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show, 602-508-0960. Kellyanne Conway was on with Wolf Blitzer on CNN yesterday. He did this terrible thing. He said to her, I know there are troubles in your marriage. I don't want to bring them up. And then goes to a clip of her husband talking on MSNBC to respond to the most basic anti-Trump point that CNN certainly didn't need to go to MSNBC to get. They can get it from any minute of their broadcast, almost any day of the week they wanted to. Indeed, as she pointed out, Wolf Blitzer himself has made the same point. She just filleted him left and right. Can you pick up where we left off with Kellyanne going after Wolf yesterday?
We sort of look the other way of how wrong everybody was here and elsewhere with the elections. I was on your network every single day, as gracefully and respectfully as I could, laying out the case as to why Donald Trump would beat Hillary Clinton. I have a living, breathing video catalog, which is why I don't worry about anything when people say, well, I always knew he'd win. I said it all the time, really, because you were sleeping when I was on TV in the morning and at night. So we have a living, breathing catalog on CNN and elsewhere. Here's why we're going back to Pennsylvania. Here's why we're going. It's the same stuff all the time. What you just quoted is said every single day by other voices, but you wanted to put it in my husband's voice because you think somehow that that'll help your ratings or that you're really sticking it to Kellyanne Conway. And let me make very clear, you didn't stick it to Kellyanne Conway. I think you embarrassed yourself, and I'm embarrassed for you because this is CNN now. I looked up to you when I was in college and law school. I would turn on CNN to see what Wolf Blitzer had to say about war, famine, disruption abroad. I really respected you for all those years as somebody who would give us the news. And now the
Kellyanne,
news is what somebody's husband says.
Do you know how many
network times
we spoke about, James Carville and Mary Madeline, a Democrat and a Republican, happily married individuals who totally disagreed on all sorts of political issues?
Really,
do you know how many times? Do you know how many times I would ask them on television?
First of all, they build themselves that way. They build themselves as kind of a unique, interesting thing. They made a fortune on the speaking and book writing circuit and on the CNN and cable news circuit coming on together to deliberately spar with each other. That it's a totally different thing. Kellyanne and her husband do not do that. They have kept their marriage separate from their politics. Go on.
About the differences they had. They didn't get into a sensitive discussion as long.
I'm not in a sensitive discussion. You are.
Mary Madeline and James Carville, they would often totally disagree on television. They would have a serious discussion. Your husband made
a serious. Do you want to know what Mary Madeline thinks of your line of questioning right now? Because I know.
I haven't spoken to Mary Madeline in a while. She's a lovely woman, James Carville, an old friend.
He's brilliant.
Very good people. You like them. I like them.
He helped do what I helped
I was
do,
just trying to get you to react to this allegation that the president was using the power of the presidency, its most unchecked area, foreign affairs, to advance his own personal interests as opposed to the country's.
Sure.
And you said fairly, you disagree.
I respectfully disagree,
that's
and I'll
fine.
Tell you why. And you know who else disagrees? You know who else doesn't have information, evidence of that? are the people who testified yesterday, because they also don't know the president. They've actually never met the president. They admitted that yesterday. They were in no such calls about this.
Which is a fair point. That's a very fair point.
It's an essential point. It's not just a fair point.
There will be others who will testify.
We are not going to impeach and remove a president from office based on what he said, she said, he thought. CIA does not stand for conjecture, interpretation, and assumption. We have to get serious here, ladies and gentlemen. You want to impeach and remove the president? Go for it.
All
but
right.
you know what's going to happen after that? A lot of those 31 Democrats who won in districts in 2018 that Trump and Pence carried in 2016, they're going to have to say goodbye. They won't be reelected. They have to go home, Wolf, and face their own voters. And their own voters are going to say, I voted for you because you stood in my community and promised you would get that trade deal passed. You promised you would help the taxpayers and the property owners and the farmers. You promised you would keep this country, this economy humming along. You promised you'd get infrastructure and broadband to every kid. All these kids are sitting in parking lots trying to get the Wi-Fi bleed to do their homework way after dark. I've spoken with members like Congressman Jim Clyburn and Ben Ray Lujan of New Mexico to try to see how we can help. We can work together on such an essential issue. Where are they? They're trying to impeach their president. So those Democratic members in these swing districts, they're going to be held to account by their voters. And I think if the Republicans take back the House in 2020, they're going to look back at yesterday, interviews like this and moments like this week, and they're going to say that was a big reason why some of these members lost, because they have to go back and they say, the voters will say, what have you done for me lately? You work for me. You wasted your time and my money. What have you done for me lately? And they're going to have to say, well, I impeached the president. And they're going to be impeached themselves, unelected.
You've been very generous with your time.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for coming in.
I'm a very generous, kind person, and people will see that later on. And, you know, you have people at CNN who live on Twitter. I choose to live offline. It's just a much better life to live offline than to live online. That's their choice. But they love to do what you just did also. And I think that's unfortunate because, again, this is CNN now. You have N, cable news network. And respectfully, I think a bunch of gossip girls and a bunch of opinion making and pontificating is not the way I looked at CNN. CNN gave me a chance. They hired me in 1996. I'm sure your viewers will freak out when they hear that. When very few people were paid to go on TV. 1996, you were always kind to me, Bernie Shaw, Judy Woodruff, a lot of people. And when I was just starting out in my career, in my polling career and on TV, and I just can't believe that it's come to conversations like this. But you want to impeach the president, impeach the president. Let's be honest why we're doing that.
We had a very substantive conversation.
We did. That's what I do. I speak with no notes and no net.
We gave you plenty of time to
make your
point.
He's there with a whole bunch of notes. Yeah, by the way, that was just such a great point she made at the end, because he's there with a stack of papers he's reading through. And she says, I'm here with no notes and no net. You know what she means by net. Nothing to save her if she falls, like he has, like every cable host, like any host. Well, do I have a net, Bill? Do I have a net here? I don't really have a net. I have my callers. We're netless. I have my callers who can correct me. But that was just such a nasty thing, and I wouldn't have seen it. I wouldn't have seen it because I don't watch CNN, and that's one of the reasons I don't watch CNN. They're just in the gutter and in the tank. Miranda Devine, this is a point I was trying to make yesterday. She does it very well at the New York Post, and there is this sub-issue that's going on that's kind of precious in regard to these impeachment hearings. She writes, for all the concern the Democrats have about Ukraine's ability to defend itself against Russia, they were remarkably sanguine, which is a nice word for optimistic or cheerful, I suppose. Remarkably sanguine, positive, remarkably sanguine about the Obama administration's inaction after Russia annexed Crimea and began aggressing into eastern Ukraine. Ukrainian President Petro Poroshenko went to Washington at the time and begged for military assistance, but the Obama-Biden administration refused. Why? Out of deference to Moscow. Remember, again, Trump is the Russian stooge, but it was the Obama administration that again and again and again deferred to Moscow by not arming the Ukrainians, by taking missile defense from Poland and the Czech Republic. Poroshenko complained at the time. He said, one cannot win a war with blankets. This was surely the low point of Ukrainian-U.S. relations, not Trump's phone call in July. Despite the witnesses' dissatisfaction with Trump's Ukraine policy, it was Trump who approved the supply of weapons to the Ukraine. So if concern for Ukraine is not the real motivation behind the diplomatic community's alarm about Trump, all that's left really is protecting the Bidens. Did you eat your broccoli today? Or your mom said you eat your spinach today? Never mind your cauliflower, your cabbage, your carrots, your zucchini, and a lot of other vegetables you're supposed to be eating. You don't have to if you take Balance of Nature. You can get all of that and more, including kale, shiitake mushrooms, in one dose. It's powdered by an advanced vacuum cold process to stabilize the maximum nutrient content. No heat or air dry processing in a vegetarian capsule. No synthetics. Just natural food made of fruits and vegetables and 100% whole food plants. A daily dose of Balance in Nature has 10 servings of 31 different fruits and vegetables. Once you start taking Balance of Nature, you'll feel great. I have, and I do. People report that their skin looks better, and they have a lot more energy. I can report the same. To improve the quality of your life, experience the Balance of Nature difference for yourself. Call or go online now. Become a preferred customer. Gives you their best pricing and free shipping, and they'll take an additional 35% off your first order. Call 800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code BALANCE. You'll be glad you did. Where am I going to next? Steve in Tempe. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Seth.
How are you?
Doing good. Hey, that's a great recording from Kellyanne Conway.
Isn't it?
Yeah. And by the way,
she was hunting for Wolf yesterday.
Oh yeah, she's the best. And can you tell me if there is anybody, any woman in the Republican Party who's front and center like her that can bring it like she does? She is the most articulate.
She's great, you know. But she, you know, there's a few. Candace Owens can do it.
Yep.
Kellyanne Conway can do it. I've been pretty impressed with some of our other congresswomen and senators, but no, Kellyanne. Well, first of all, she said something there that is true, which is she's been doing it since 1996. So she's had a lot, you know, she's got a lot of experience in this.
Yeah.
But you know, she had to dig and claw her way up. This was not handed to her. She comes from a very working class background, and she's really just done a tremendous job. And God bless Trump for having her, and God bless her for working for him.
Yeah, and hopefully in the not too distant future she goes back to Kellyanne Fitzpatrick as opposed to being Kellyanne.
Oh well, I don't know. Maybe their marriage is great. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I'm assuming since Wolf Blitzer said there were problems with it, I'm assuming their marriage is great.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I'm being facetious here, but I mean, Seth, George Conway, that guy is a buffoon. Is it related?
He has never said anything that has impressed me. Who knows what's the song Behind Closed Doors that we play from Charlie Pride from time to time? Or it is Charlie Pride, right? Yeah, who knows? You know, people may have a non-political relationship, Steve. They may. I don't know. I don't know.
I hear you. But
Mike Gallagher tells you that his beloved wife of many years, Denise, didn't agree with a single thing, with one single thing he believed politically. I think it's hard. I agree. I think it's really hard, but I've seen it.
Yeah, I hear you. And you look at James Carville. And,
yeah, has he
and,
ever said anything that bright? I mean, I know he says it loudly, and I know he says it with a lot of laughter and a lot of Cajun accent. But has he ever said anything that made you go, that's smart? I've never seen it.
No, I haven't either. And I'll tell you, Seth, I remember when George W. Bush chose Dick Cheney as his vice president, he was actually – I remember seeing him on a panel – and he was laughing about it, thinking it was the biggest joke ever and the biggest mistake he had ever made, when in fact it was probably one of the biggest positive.
You're making an interesting point, Steve. I've heard this about others. I've seen it with others. Just because you're loud and just because you have a lot going on with your facial expressions doesn't mean you're saying anything smart. You know, a laugh track is not an argument.
True. And back to Kellyanne Conway, I honestly believe this, Seth. I think that is dialed in as she is, and as articulate as she is, and as as nice a person as she is, and the way that she comes across, if there is a woman that we can choose to put forward as a presidential candidate after Trump's second term, my choice would be her, and I mean that very sincerely.
Well, I think she is one strong woman and one strong mom, and probably a strong wife too. But she is in possession of her soul, and she is not afraid. And I love it too, Steve. I love it too. I really do. Well, we've proven you don't have to have elected office in your background to run for the presidency and win, right? Right. I'll be right back. Remember about two segments ago, I said I operate without a net. So if I get it wrong, what do? We rely on the listeners. I got it wrong. I got my Charlies mixed up. I said that was Charlie Pride, and I had a listener write me saying, Charlie Rich, you buffoon. Charlie Rich, not Charlie Pride. Right, the Silver Fox. Somehow I knew that. I got my Charlies mixed up. But it proved the point, right? It was the theoretical being proven by the actual. I do make mistakes. And I rely on the listeners for the correction. So thank you, Debbie, for that correction. Yes, it was the Silver Fox. What was his other big one? Did you happen to see the most beautiful girl in the world? Yeah, I think that was it. Anyway, 602-508-0960. And back to our Benosic endeavors. Jason is in Phoenix. Hi, Jason.
Hey, Seth. How you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
Doing great. Keep up the great work during this crazy time.
Thank you.
I wanted to get your opinion. One of the takeaways I had from listening to the first two witnesses was I kind of got the impression that they were covering themselves. Here you have, you know, two people that are kind of the key contacts in Ukraine and, you know, this Burisma dealings, and we don't know how many corrupt dealings, whether it's Kerry, Clinton. You know, we know Ukraine's been very corrupt for a period of time.
So that really did come out, right? That really came out yesterday, was that Ukraine has, what was the phrase someone used? I think they said endemic corruption, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah.
And so you're if they're on the watch, so to speak, for this long period of time, and all these things are happening, and they haven't, you know, raised the alarm, so to speak, and now all of a sudden they're raising an alarm. I think probably they are, you know, patriotic Americans, but I think I felt a little bit like they were really covering up for what potentially is going to come out of this, is that there's been a lot of corruption, and, you know, they might have played a small role, and I'm not saying implicating them, but, you know, here they are supposed to be on the watch.
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting point you're making. So George Kent is kind of your example. He was the first of the two. He was the guy in the bow tie. He's the deputy assistant secretary of state. He's kind of your example of your career diplomat, right? Your career foreign service type person who has now been, elevated to a political position. With the designation of a deputy assistant secretary of state, but prior to that, your career foreign service professional, and where were these people? Now they said they didn't agree with the Obama-Biden administration's policy of not arming the Ukrainians. They said Bill Taylor said that. But, yeah, where were the hearings on that? Where were their op-eds on that? Where was their fame on going up against Obama and Biden when it mattered? You know, we're talking about this is an interesting talking point that has no currency on the left or with the Democrats. You know, they're saying the delayed military aid might have cost Ukrainian lives. We have no knowledge that that's at all anywhere in the realm of being possibly true. It might have. But you know what? Giving armaments to another country could have cost lives, too. Could have cost more lives because you're now engaging in further war. So you don't know. It's just a stupid talking point. But in the aggregate, yes, if we want to defend the Ukraine, give them arms. And we did under this administration for the first time. And they were around for plenty of administrations since the early 90s where, you know, it was coddling Russia after coddling Russia. And the reason Barack Obama refused to give arms to the Ukrainians was, in his words, out of deference to Russia. And I do hope that this has come out for those who all of a sudden love the Ukraine, Democrats all of a sudden who love the Ukraine. I hope the American people are seeing how the Ukraine is being used for their political purposes. I hope they see that, because during the Obama-Biden presidency and vice presidency, they were nowhere to be found when Biden and Obama were giving MREs, meals ready to eat, and blankets. They were nowhere to be found. Finally, you have a president who's doing something to thwart Russia, Trump, and they call him a colluder with Russia. Finally, you have a president, Trump, who's willing to arm the Ukrainians, and they're getting mad at him for a 55-day delay in giving that military aid to the Ukrainians. It is a ratcheted-up argument that is really very hard to take seriously. I just think it is. I think it's really hard to take the Democrats seriously.
Couldn't agree more.
Jason, I thank you. Where am I going next? How about Bob and Surprise? Hello, Bob.
Hey, Seth. Great show. You couldn't be more right than about this Ukraine thing and this whole shift show, I call it.
It is a shift. It's a really bad show. And I say it's a bad show because I think it's losing its audience. It's losing its audience. And we already know the ending. If this were a Broadway production or a movie, we already know the ending. The president is not going to be removed from office over this. He's just not.
It is so lame. It's so lame. I wanted to throw this theory out here. So Hillary Clinton.
And it's boring, right? The worst crime is to be boring. In politics, the worst crime is to be boring. And it's boring. Anyway, go ahead.
I watched a little bit of it last night on C-SPAN to put me to sleep, and it did a very good job of it.
Okay.
The best thing I caught off of it real quick was when they said, how many times has a vice president come in to fire a prosecutor to any other country than Ukraine? I thought that was great.
Yeah.
But real quick about Hillary.
Yeah.
She is going to run for the reason because the Durham report's coming out. She's going to run so Trump cannot pick on his political opponent.
Yeah, that's an interesting theory. So the argument is this. Trump engaged in a no-no because he asked another country to examine or to look into the dealings of an American citizen. That American citizen, as it turns out, happens to be running for president. If he weren't running for president, there would have been no problem, right? But
no
because
problem.
He is
yep.
declared to be running for president, all of a sudden, this is now a high crime and misdemeanor.
Which
so
he,
anyone
had not declared. He had not declared at the time that was being.
I don't know if that's right or not. I don't know. I don't know. But the point is to be emphasized that you're making, Bob. The point is, so all of a sudden we have this new rule of law that if you're running for president, you're exempt from any past wrongdoings. Well, if that's the case, let Manafort out of jail. If that's the case, if that's the case, quit examining Donald Trump. If that's the case, the Mueller investigation was a farce. Quite frankly, if that's the case, you shouldn't be doing impeachment in an election year if you can't investigate people who are running for president. And yeah, your point is Hillary will be immune because she's running for president. Anyone who thinks they might be in trouble with the law, just run for president. According to the Democrats, that's an exemption from investigation. That's the lesson we're learning here. Thank you, Bob. 602-508-0960. I'll say something about Hillary running when we come back. Just that voice and breath control. Amazing. Yeah, on that Hillary Clinton running for president, David Harsanyi has her number. She said this week she's, quote, under enormous pressure from many, many, many people to run for the presidency. Do you think she's under enormous pressure from many, many, many people? I am sure there is. I have no doubt many people have said to her, you really ought to run, Hillary. You beat him once, you can beat him again, Hillary. I'm sure. I don't know that that's enormous pressure in any event. He writes, it's almost certain that Hillary is just whipping up attention to promote her new book on gutsy women. But the inescapable fact is that Clinton is just as formidable as any of the Democratic Party's frontrunners right now. If she were serious, there would probably be few political barriers to stop her from winning the nomination. For one thing, she's helped convince a bunch of Americans that 2016 was stolen from her by a toxic confluence of Russian sleeper agents, pushy misogynists, Bernie bros, WikiLeaks, Barack Obama, the FBI, the First Amendment, white grievance, the Electoral College, and low-information voters, among many other factors. A rematch, as her case would go, might rectify this historic wrong, healing our nation's psychic wounds. Here's the interesting thing. Most polls find Hillary running neck and neck with frontrunners such as Joe Biden, whose argument for the candidacy, now that he's abandoned 40 years of policy positions, is predicated upon the success of the Obama administration. Well, the same Barack Obama who reportedly dissuaded the former vice president from running on numerous occasions has also argued that Hillary was the most qualified person in the country to be president. Surely his assessment of the former first lady, senator, and secretary of state hasn't changed over the past 3 years. Hillary would immediately undercut Biden's support and probably support for many of the moderates, quote unquote. Hillary, 72, is younger than either frontrunner Joe Biden, 76, or Bernie Sanders, 78, younger than Michael Bloomberg at 77, or Donald Trump at 73. She is less than 2 years older than Elizabeth Warren. Hillary, whose fundraising efforts netted a record $1.4 billion in 2016, shouldn't have much trouble raising money. Of course, many of the same obstacles remain. Clinton's career is a 30-year excursion into corruption and soulless political triangulations. But as Philip Raines, one-time Hillary advisor, recently told Tucker Carlson, Hillary, quote, if she thought she had the best odds of beating Donald Trump, I think she would think about it long and hard. I'm sorry, there's simply no way that Hillary doesn't already view herself as more potent political force than the gaggle of Democrats now running. But then you have to come and explain Deval Patrick, former governor of Massachusetts and really close friend of Barack Obama's, who's just declared his candidacy. Really interesting. Biden must be feeling really good right now, huh? I'll tell you more about that when we come back, too. 602-508-0960 is the number.